Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast, episode 852, season 15. I'm your host, the Real Gerald Quinn, on this Wednesday evening. I hope everybody out there is having a good time and taking it easy as we head towards the weekend. As always, I am joined by one Robert Sapp, a very exuberant and excited Robert Sapp.
Yes.
Sapp,
yes,
how you
sir.
Doing?
Yes, sir. I am doing wonderful. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. A very eventful weekend of football. A great college football weekend, by the way, as well. But we are here to talk week six of the NFL season. As always, we begin with the themes of the week of the Sunday of the NFL week six. And it was Till We Meet Again and Falling Legends. So we will tap into that
over the course.
On the podcast, we begin with the Buffalo segment / all the thoughts. And
I like that.
So I know that Mr. Sapp has all the thoughts for this game. So I'm just gonna give a few of my thoughts on a game that I actually rewatched the entire game. It was very much worthy of a rewatch, to say the least. I thought it was a phenomenal game from a strategic standpoint, from a high-level standpoint, from a standpoint of these teams know each other so well. And to your point, we talked offline about that. This is a division. They are, in essence, division rivals. They've met five times in the last two seasons, with Kansas City winning three of the five meetings, Buffalo winning the last two out of the last three, and with two of those being in Kansas City. Of course, last year, 38-20 in the regular season. And Buffalo was able to get by Kansas City 24-20. Again, this was a very high-level game from the standpoint of both defenses. I thought played extremely well.
They did.
I thought that, you know, it was a physical game. It was a relatively, you know, for the most part, I know you had the two turnovers in the red zones by both teams in the beginning, but outside of that, for the most part, it was a relatively cleanly played game, tied after three quarters. You know, you had 7-7, 10-10, and 17-17. And the bottom line is, listen, and I'll let Mr. Sapp break down the just ridiculous game-winning touchdown pass that Allen threw to Knox, because I'm sure he's watched that about 10,000 times. But the bottom line is, this game was about the Buffalo defense. I said last week, if Buffalo was going to win this game, it was going to be about their defense. Von Miller was spectacular in this game. He, to me, was the singular difference in this game. And Buffalo's stars came up big. Allen, Miller, Diggs all played phenomenal football games.
Diggs is a dog.
Diggs has struggled. Diggs has struggled in the past against Kansas City. So this is like one of his best Kansas City games in recent memory. Allen was Josh Allen. He's the MVP of the league right now. It's not even close. And Von Miller was the hired gun. This is what you brought in Von Miller to do. He disrupted the entire game, two sacks and the pressures and the last pressure that led to the interception. From the flip side, from the Kansas City side, because Sapp will have give you the Buffalo standpoint, but from the Kansas City side, I walk away from Kansas City feeling pretty good, to be honest with you. If you're a Kansas City fan, I don't think that you walk away. I thought the gap between these two teams was bigger. I thought Buffalo would win this game, but after watching this game, Kansas City, these are basically evenly matched teams, to be honest with you. Kansas City is right there. I walk away from this game thinking that Kansas City probably needs another weapon in terms of a deep threat. And we know guys get, like in today's NFL, get traded left and right at the trade deadline. So that's something that I'm sure will be available for them come the trade deadline. And I walk away from this game, and if you're Kansas City, again, injuries, no excuses, but your secondary was injured. So you can say to yourself, hey, hopefully we'll be healthier if the next time we play. But I don't think I mean, there's no moral victories for Kansas City because of the ramifications of possibly home field advantage. But the bottom line is, you are amongst the two best teams in the league, and you fully expect to meet this team again come playoff time. What were your thoughts on this brilliantly played football game?
Yeah. All right, all that, get that out of the way. So I feel great, and I feel even better than I felt after the game, because the way that you ended your statement is where I left that game. But then I had a conversation with my brother that really, really changed my mind. And I started thinking this way, but he really solidified it for me, because he just comes right in with his analysis and doesn't care about my feelings or anything like that at all. And he's actually been the one bringing me along on Buffalo, because I'm just so hesitant. And so what he said, and he's absolutely accurate. He was like, they had to throw everything in the kitchen sink at you guys. And on the defensive side. And then what really made the aha, I was like, that's right. And we just played our defense. And so I say that to say, they got us with the blitz. They did. What I always am looking for from pretty much start to finish of this regime is, I have always, my brother said, running game. I was like, that's fair. Okay, so running game is number one. And number two is lack of adjustments in game, and especially in big games. We come in with a fantastic game plan every single game. I'm never, ever worried about that, that the guys won't be prepared, that they won't be locked in, that they won't have a great game plan. But if the coach makes a significant enough adjustment on the other side, it has been our propensity to not be able to handle that adjustment that time. Now, the next time, absolutely, but that time in game, very tricky, or has been tricky. What I so much enjoy, because up until this point in time, I mean, I was chucking stuff at wall. I hated the offensive game plan. But what I so much enjoy was when the blitz was getting, got us, flat out. We're surprised, confused, all the things. They figured it out. And it didn't even take to halftime. They figured it out in a quarter and a half. And that was everything. And that, like, that 99-yard drive, 98-yard, I mean, in a minute, that thing just erase all of the stuff that I was having. And then after that, a lot that they had for us. And so I am very much of the feeling that Kansas City emptied the bag on us. Even when they get their people back healthy, their people weren't anything to fear in the first place. And then we got another big dog that hasn't been there and wasn't there in that playoff game that's coming back as well. So I feel even better than I felt immediately after the game. Now, let's talk about the game. Like I said, the end of the first half, that I felt at ease at that point. I really, really did. Because Allen was locked in. Diggs was locked in. Von Miller was locked in. Dermott was locked in. Everybody important was so locked in and focused on this game that, again, it just makes me feel so they want this as bad as what, I mean, like, this, of course they want this more than I do, of course. But tangible, I could feel it through the screen. I cannot say enough that Stephon Diggs is an absolute dog. Like, even when he was making catches, he was in everybody's face. Yo, that dude, animal. At the end of the, so get the touchdown at the end of the half. the Stephon, like I said, like the to Gabe Davis, and then the Stephon, you know, Stephon Davis is dog. He caught the second one, but I really want to get to the fourth quarter because you're absolutely right. Actually, the there was a catch Dobbs watched way more than a touchdown, and that was the big catch to the middle. Like, he started off on the right, and they ran into the middle. And they even talked about it on the commentary, like the trust that they have, and that Allen let that ball go before Diggs even broke left. And so what I love about that play even more was that it was off. Allen let that ball even further than I think he wanted to, but Diggs is an animal. And snatched that ball and snatched it between three defensive players. And it took the hit. The other one that he grabbed earlier, I'm backtracking, but my brother brought this up. It's such a great point, how dominant we are. We throw out. We're not just chucking it a little bit on the inside. We're going to throw out, and we're going to throw out in between your people and trust that Diggs is going to go up and get it. That's the level at which they're playing at now and the confidence that they have. And so that set up. No, that is set up. But that was such a great play that I just enjoyed, like, watching that. But then, as you said, absolutely. I mean, you know, just the absolute gun that Allen has, and not, they pointed it out, I was watching a couple of shows. Like, literally, he gets the ball high and has the ball, and he's like, the pocket's there, but it's not clean because you got Jones and all them boys there. But even as all that's going on, he's like, nah, not go over, do this, better not do that. And then gun the ball because Knox didn't do exactly what he needed him to do, but he's like, F it. I'm going to fit it in there right there. He did enough what I needed to do. So it was a great pass. It was a fantastic pass. I love the game because it also showed the world another side of Buffalo, which is the kind of like that end of the game still, like, at the very end. And if talking about the closeness of the game and everything like that, that's great. But what this does for my team is it solidifies specifically what Sean McDermott had talked about the last Kansas City game, which is you play all the way through. You just keep playing. If you keep playing, good things are going to happen for you. Bad things are going to happen for them. We kept playing. On offense, got that touchdown, but didn't try to do anything weird. I was worried for a second with the minutes, like, that they were going to try to do stuff weird with Fox. I know. F it.
Well, if you looked after the touchdown, they were not. Their faces were dead serious after the Knox touchdown. There was no celebration. And Nance pointed out. They were like, nobody celebrated.
But, yeah.
Nobody.
But yeah, and here's even a greater point that, like, it was making the touchdown in that amount of time. That's the point. We're not scared that you're going to get up the field against us and get a touchdown because our defense is going to stop you. That's the money, and that's the flip of the mentality. So I'm glad that the world got to see us. I wish Kansas City will come to Buffalo in the playoffs.
Oh, that would bring be it. That would be
we'll odd. Never ever. No, I wish. Oh no, bring it, bring it for real.
Last four meetings that they met Kansas City at average.
No.
Go ahead. Hold on. Last four meetings, and this is why this was important that this was a defensive game from Buffalo standpoint. Last four meetings, Kansas City averaged 32 points a game. So McDermott got exactly what he wanted. Leslie Frazier got exactly what they wanted. This was a defensive. Dominated type performance.
Yeah, and I was going to punch the game with Leslie Frazier. Because instead of game, I said, Leslie Frazier. Then the homeboy snatched that ball out the air. Vaughn rushes, gets pressure so that Mahomes rushes out, throws it, does one of his wonky throws, but does it a little bit earlier than he wants to. And boom, right there, got it. I think it's Terry Johnson is his name. I could be wrong with that, but I think that's his name.
So what came out this game to also, to be honest with you, and this is not a hot take, but Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
He's pretty good.
I think when I look at just complete skill set, when I look at the mentality, we've seen him constantly in these situations drive his team the last couple of years, drive his team down the field in fourth quarters, the polar opposite of what Lamar Jackson is doing in the fourth quarter, and we'll talk more about him. But I knew when y'all got the ball back, when y'all held him to a field goal at 2017, he's taking him down the field to score a touchdown. Like, I felt that in my bones that was going to happen. I said, now the question is, will your defense be able to stop them when Mahomes gets the ball back? But I knew Josh Allen was scoring a touchdown, and your offense was going to go down the field and go up 24-20. It was just like, yo, this is what he does now. Like, he's going to – you had that confidence with the offense. The offensive line has played well enough. They got enough out the running game. Again, a very high-level game, to say the least. These two teams are clearly the two best teams in football. I don't think any less of Kansas City, because this was about Buffalo, to be honest with you. And I hope they meet again. That's all there is to it. I think that they're going to meet again. Like,
There's
no question about. Oh, one last thing. We talked about this too offline. If you're Buffalo, okay, you did your job. Game week 6, 5-1. Now go out there and make sure that you don't go back to Kansas City. That's the thing now. Make sure you don't go back.
It's our job to hold.
Make this victory stick. Mean something. Because to me, it doesn't mean nothing if you go back to Kansas City.
No. Our job is to hold the number one seed. But what I like when I look over the landscape of the AFC is I look at not only like we're 5-1 on this top of the AFC, but then I look at all the other division leaders and we have a victory over all of them.
Yep. No, you've played like you've done your job.
This one ain't slipping away. This one ain't slipping away. This one ain't. It's just. I just don't like that 15-1 number. That's the only thing I'm thinking now. I don't like that 15-1 number.
Game of the week. To me. Game of the week. Well, it won't be 15-1. It'll be 16-1. Like, remember, something
to schedule. Fair. So, That's actually fair.
It's totally different. Fair point. And I think you will lose one more game. I think you're looking at 15-2, 14-3, to be honest with you. And I think that still will be good enough for number one seed.
You think what you want, baby.
You want 16-1.
We'll be favored in every game.
Oh, absolutely, without question.
That's simple.
The schedule is going. The schedule is going to start to soften up the back half, especially. Absolutely. Game of the week: Giants, the G-men, over the Baltimore Ravens, 24-20. Again, put some respect on the Giants' name, okay? Okay, the Giants again come up with a big second half. They again will trail the team in by double digits. Now we'll get to the Baltimore Wolves because there are plenty to get to from Baltimore standpoint. But from a Giants standpoint, I love about the Giants. They ran the ball. They took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them, and they are the ultimate team of staying the course. They don't, you know, Daniel Jones was you know, had a workman-like performance, did not turn over the ball. And again, the Giants are going, as long as the game is close or within striking distance, they are going to continue to run the ball. Giants win this game despite being outgained 406 to 238. Now, Baltimore does what Baltimore has done this year. So let me give you this number, right? Baltimore, there have been 39 teams in the history of the NFL that have outscored their opponent, that have had at least a 10-point lead in every one of their games, okay, and through six games. Baltimore is the only team not to be over 500. Think about that for a second, okay? They've been outscored in the fourth quarter 45-10. they have had, again, double-digit lead in every single one of their games, and they only have a 3-3 record to show for it. Lamar Jackson's quarterback rating in the fourth quarter is 56. Robert Sapp, what is happening to Baltimore in the fourth quarter of these games?
Yeah, just mental errors. It's one of those things where it seems like it's in their head in terms of making just like that belief that somehow, some way, you're going to make the big mistake. And so it kind of like manifests destiny. And that, like, that's the only explanation, because it's going from the first one, which was a total surprise, the second one where like your offense just completely disappeared, to this one where you're actively involved in costing yourself games. And so that means that's a downward trajectory. So right now it just feels like more than showing up execution, it feels mental, and that it's in their heads. And I don't know what you do about that in terms of coaching wise or anything else. I guess they could try playing better for like the whole game, and maybe that will help. But outside of that, the tight end gets by the fourth quarter, the expectation now has to be that they're going to mess up.
So to me, when I see like your quarterback's numbers dropping significantly in the fourth quarter, and you have one of the top offenses statistically in the league, points allowed, points scored, total offense, rushing, of course. I think from a strategy standpoint that it seems like other teams are getting a beat on that offense, and that they're not able, there's no counter to when a team does get a beat on what they're trying to do.
Or relying just solely on Lamar Jackson. Yes. Do something special.
Right. Yep.
Yep. Definitely. So
it's, again, it's gotten to a point where we talked about Buffalo expecting to win close games and games like that, and Josh Allen, they are the polar opposite. It's in their heads that they probably almost expect to almost lose in a sense, or have some doubts.
Here's how far they've fallen. For me, I used to be terrified of Baltimore. They give me zero concern. Zero. I'm not worried about them at all. So.
You shouldn't be. You should not be. Especially, and I know that, you know, the defense has played slightly better last couple of weeks, but it's still not like that defense doesn't put any fear in anybody's heart. Like that defense can't. I mean, that defense is not a closing defense, and that's not nowhere anywhere near a vintage Baltimore Raven defense. So, you know.
Well, that's why you wanted me to be so happy after that Baltimore win. And I was just pissed for right. That very reason.
Yep. But shout out to the G-Man, 5-1, right there with the right there tied, right there. No, in second place behind the Philadelphia Eagles, playing excellent football, extremely well coached. They make great halftime adjustments, and they have been the polar opposite of Baltimore as well. They, even when they're down, find a way to win these close games.
They play better in the fourth quarter.
Yes,
they keep playing.
Yep, they keep playing. They stay again. They stay the course. Stick to their plan, make whatever necessary adjustment they have to make, and find a way to win.
I mean, if anybody knows Dable knows 13 seconds was his very last game.
Yep.
In Buffalo.
Yep. Absolutely.
So it's like that happened, and then he was off to be coaching the Giants.
Yeah. Games of note. Jets surprised the Packers 27-10. This was just one of the ugliest performances that you'll see from a team that had Super Bowl aspirations coming in. They were held to 278 yards. They had a field goal blocked, a punt blocked. Listen, now the Jets have some defensive players. Gardner and Quentin Williams are stars. That's all there is to it. Those guys are studs. Those guys are all pro caliber players. The Jets are improved, but there's no way. The Jet offense, if another team's offensively, and the Jets only had 278 yards themselves, and their quarterback only threw for 110 yards. So it's not like they offensively did anything. Now, they ran the ball very well against the Packers because of how well their defense played. They played to their strength, the running game, and the defense. Packers averaged 4.0 yards per play. Listen to a lot of Rodgers stuff with the press conference. And basically the message was, we just need to simplify the offense. Rodgers says, hey, in the past when we struggled offensively in the last two or three years, it's been because we were trying to basically do too much, even when Devontae Adams was there. Now, he said some nice things about LaFleur. This wasn't a all-out throwing LaFleur under the bus or through the bus. But when you say simplify the offense, I mean, it is Matt LaFleur is the offensive guy and the head coach of that team. So you got to take that into account. He said something very interesting, too, that was even beyond that. He said, and let me look up the quote here. I have it. I actually posted it on my Instagram because it was I just found it fascinating. Look it up. He said, okay, if you think we have the right players.
Hello?
He said, yeah, I'm still here. I'm putting it. I'm posting it to my thing so I can, like, read. All right, here it goes. If you think we have the right players, then simplify it. If we don't, then that's a whole other conversation. So that was the gist of the Rodgers 15-minute press conference. Said something, you know, basically said, hey, we're not going to panic. We're not, nobody's breaking rank. So he's not concerned from that standpoint. Took some blame as far as being inconsistent and said, the coaches, the game plan is fine, so on and so on. It's, you know, it's about our execution, blah, blah, blah. But here's what I'll say. And I had Rodgers as this week's biggest disappointment. When you are one of the best quarterbacks that I've ever lived, an all-time great, and you're coming off a loss like they came off last week, it's like when we used to see it all the time with Jordan, Kobe, athletes, certain athletes, or certain when you get to that level. This should have been a I'm not gonna let my team lose type game. Right? This should have been that. Like, I'm not letting the New York fucking Jets come into our stadium, a place that we have been dominant during the course of my career. Like, their record. And Rodgers' home numbers are historically good. Okay. We're not letting this team come into our stadium and losing a second straight game, especially coming off what happened in London. It has to be that type of game if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're an all-time great quarterback, which he is, a four-time MVP. Like, you can't let your team, I don't care if you have to win it by 1 point. I don't care if it's ugly. You cannot let your team lose this game. And not only to lose this game, to get, in essence, embarrassed in front of your home crowd. That tells me that, I'm not going to say the team is checked out, but that tells me that there's a mentality of, hey, we can turn it on at any time, or there's a mentality of they're taking the Aaron Rodgers kind of like, we cool, we good, and you should not, coming off these two performances, last week's performance, the fourth quarter, second half, that should not have been like that mentality should not even have entered the mindset. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, you had a lot to say about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, like, who's there? Is it Sauce Gardner? Oh, no, you said Gardner. They say Sauce.
You're talking about Gardner plays with the Jazz, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta give credit. They have built
a very good defense.
And they just took it to the Packers. And I think, like you said a lot about Aaron Rodgers, I'll just talk about the rest of the team. And I think this might be the second week in a row that the other coaching staff has just said, you know, you just got to essentially just beat them up. They're not going to be able to respond. They can't respond physically. So, right. Yeah. That's the other thing that I saw. I just saw a very soft team all around out there.
Yeah. No. They can't. They don't respond to getting hit in the mouth. Absolutely. And here's my question to you. So I thought about this with Aaron Rodgers, considering where he's at in the stage of his career. Okay. Certainly has not played well this year, right?
You all want to hear Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen,
when you are
the four-time MVP, then you know, Victor goes to the point, you got to take it. Your team's losing. It's your fault right now, period. I was thinking about John Elway a bit late in his career, right? So, 96 and 98, Denver had the best team in football. You could make a case they should have won three straight Super Bowls, but whatever. They cumulatively were the best team in football for 3 years, won back-to-back Super Bowls. And Elway accepted the fact that, and Elway was still very good at the time. He wasn't great, but he was still very good. He accepted the fact that, hey, we have a beast named Terrell Davis, pretty good defense, great, the best play calling coach in the league in Mike Shanahan at that time. I'm going to whatever you need me to do to help us get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, I'm willing to do, right? So they ran. They became a predominantly running team, and the rest is history. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is getting in his own way in terms of his performance by not fully committing to what? Now, again, this team doesn't have a Terrell Davis.
Well, I'm old record on this very show saying in our preseason that this was never going to work. Because Aaron Rodgers is not John Elway. It's just that simple. But even more so, different era. This era is all about the quarterback's ability, all about their ability to pass, and all about, you know, all the things, especially his contemporaries, outside of Ben Roethlisberger, is also all about your mental acumen as well.
Right.
And their ability to chuck that ball. So that's number one. And then number two, look how he was raised in Green Bay. His mentor is Brett Favre. He's how Brett Favre behaves. That was the guy. That was his model. So you got that. You transition to Aaron Rodgers and the unique experience of living in Green Bay and being Green Bay quarterback is you were quite literally a football guy there.
Yep.
So everybody worships you. So I'm not stunned, shocked, surprised, or anything about this interaction because this was the only way this is going to go.
No, my question to you is, do you think that him not accepting the fact that this team could run more has affected his performance? Do you think he's getting in his own way?
I think
the reason why I brought up John Elway, I'm not comparing them as far as dead.
I hear you. And Elway didn't have a great statistical year that first year. But I digress. I get what you're saying. The reason I hesitated was because this is a slippery slope. This is not black and white, and you like to paint things in black and white. This is not as simple as that. So Aaron Rodgers went into this year with a plan he knew wasn't going to make him successful. So already, by default, it's bad right there. That's going to impact his play because he doesn't believe in what they're doing. Hence, now you're starting to get the little slick comments and everything like that. But that was from Jump Street. Organizationally, structurally, like I said, whenever you tell a quarterback like that, we're going to be a run-first team, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to work. That quarterback is never going to be able to switch his mentality over to that. So that will impact his play. Davante Adams, I just cannot express this enough because I keep saying it and no one keeps thinking this. Davante Adams was as massive as losing the outside of quarterback, the most important player on the team. He was everything for that offense. And all the statistics, everything said it. So it was wild that they thought this would be the time to do that and take away. And so his frustration with the running game, his frustration with the group of receivers, I think is bleeding into his game absolutely and forcing him to be less patient than he needs to be for that team to be successful. Aaron Rodgers would have to fundamentally alter his game now in order to fit into what the team actually needs. And he is no way willing to do that.
Yep. Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, another team that was expected to do big things, struggling miserably. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers fall to Pittsburgh 2018. Pittsburgh loses Kenny Pickett. Didn't matter because Mr. Busy came in. So despite the fact that Pittsburgh was held to 270 yards by Tampa Bay's defense, the story of this game, of course, is the lack of offense, of course, from Tampa Bay. The offensive line struggles with Tampa Bay. You have Brady on the line. You have Brady screaming on the sidelines of the offensive line. What do you see as far as Tampa Bay? Do you think Tampa Bay is fixable?
No.
No, okay.
They are too old and slow.
Yeah,
I mean, like, not like I could dive into the whole Brady thing, but I choose not to.
But even their roster, it's not as talented.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even need to go there because I'm looking at the play on the field. And like I said, after that first game, Tampa was the primary worry for me, and then they were not a worry for me because I could clearly see we were so much better than them. The reason being that they're just not fast enough. Their offense isn't dynamic enough. They won't be able to put any amount of those points on board. And so then that makes Todd Bowles' defense that much less impressive. Their roster construction is off. It's just off.
You know, I'm thinking about it right now.
And to compete with the big boys.
No, of course not. I'm thinking about it right now. What's going on in Tampa Bay right now actually makes perfect sense, right? So Brady gets there a couple years ago. They win the Super Bowl the first year. Last year, they take a step back. This actually makes, like, this was not going to be a long run of just success of where they were going to be a championship team every year. I think they got what they've gotten out of the Tom Brady era as far as Tampa Bay. Like, this actually makes perfect sense in terms of, especially when you consider, you're talking about Brady's getting older, his personal, you know, what's going on personal, but the fact that, you know, lose Bruce Arians, like, it just actually makes, like, what's going on in Tampa Bay actually makes sense, to be honest with you. when you step back and look at it, when you really step back and look at it. Like, they were not built for, like, they were not built for long-standing success. With all, like, they went for it right away with free agents and things of that nature. So they will be a team that will, now again, they're, you know, they're in a bad division. I still don't believe in Atlanta. I know Atlanta's 3-3, so that probably will say they probably will make the playoffs, but no, they're not. Yeah, to your point of being fixable to a point where they can contend, no, that's done for this year. Philadelphia, Dallas, very intriguing game. Philadelphia takes about 26-17. The first half looked like I thought the game would look, to be honest with you, not in terms of the score, but in terms of the fact that I didn't think Dallas would be able to run against Philadelphia and Cooper Rush would struggle. Those two things happened. But this game, of course, changed at, you know, this game changed in the third, at the end of the second half, excuse me, the end of the first half when Lane Johnson left. Changed the whole complexion of this game. He leaves, all of a sudden, Mekhi Parsons becomes Lawrence Taylor and they can't block him. This led to Dallas getting his running game going against a tired Philadelphia defense because the offense was 3-and-out. And next thing you know, we had a game. I think I feel if I were both teams, I kind of would feel good. I was very impressed with Dallas coming back and making a game of it, being down 20-0. Yeah, without your starting quarterback, Philadelphia holding them off, despite not a great game out of Jalen Hurts. I walk away from this game not fully understanding. Like, I know both teams are very good. I think Philadelphia can certainly contend and go to the Super Bowl. But in terms of them matching up with each other, I still think there's a lot of things that we need to, like, there's some things that unanswered questions. Like, I want to see Dallas with Dak Prescott. I want to see Philadelphia a full game with Lane Johnson because that injury changed the complexion of the game. So, Pretty good game. And, you know, the right team won. Philadelphia right now is the better team. I think Dallas actually is closer than I thought they were to Philadelphia, to be honest with you. So, Philadelphia goes to 6-0. Their schedule coming up, they easily could be 9-0 or 10-0, to be honest with you. And Dallas...
Schedule's
for them is great. Sweet schedule. Dallas will get back. More than likely, Dak Prescott is probably going to come back this week, and we'll see what happens with that. What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, like this, I was very interested to watch this game because this is going to be my first time really sitting down and putting my eyes on both of these teams. And a couple of things impressed me. Dallas defense is impressive.
That's an impressive defense. And so that was
impressive to see. And I really like the offensive concept in Philadelphia. Like, I really, really like it. They know what they're doing offensively. They got that thing humming.
They stick to their identity. They know who they are.
I really like that. And so you could tell both teams were, I don't want to say nervous, on like just a prime time to go up against each other, having that old rivalry feeling and being in a more of a high stakes game than they've traditionally been in these past few years. I could feel the nervous is probably not the right word, but just the wonkiness in the first year. Yeah, that's a good word. In the first quarter, and so, like you're right. Like, I like the way that the game flowed from the third quarter on, because I think that's when you saw both teams kind of giving their best punches to each other. And so it was cool to see Dallas' defense get after the quarterback. And then it is really cool to see Philly's offense adjust to that. And do things necessary to, get Jalen Hurts out of harm's way and get the ball into receiver's hands. Anyways, I weigh everything on how much it worries me. So I would say I would put Philly like right at 50%. I'm like, okay, they're a respectable team. And then I'll put Dallas at like 25%, half of that. But like you said, a good football game, particularly the second half. And the two teams that are good football teams, particularly Philadelphia. I got Dallas with Dak Prescott in that offense a little bit more before I could be like, well, they're well coached.
I'm not going that far. No, offensively, I'm not going that far. Yeah, defensively, very good, legitimate top ten defense. Offensively, like you said, we got to see if they cannot get out their own way with the play calling and philosophy and shit like that. Because we spoke about this last week. There's a very clear cut way Dallas should play in terms of their philosophy offensively: run the football, play action.
Yep.
So on and so on. So
you saw when they did that in the second half. Much better.
Yep. The Philadelphia secondary is tremendous, though. That secondary is a very good secondary. Very good secondary.
Yeah, I got to see more of them. But I got to see more of them. I got to just watch more of them. But
These two teams are going to be around for the duration of the season right there. And I think both of them probably will make the playoffs. All right, we already went through the biggest disappointment. No more of the trouts on Aaron Rodgers anymore. Questions for SAP. Oh, speaking of NFC East, will three NFC East teams make the playoffs?
Ooh, wow.
So you have Philly at 6-0, Giants at 5-1, Dallas at
4-2. Oof,
and bad football all around the NFC. San Francisco's down. So the Rams are down. The Packers are down.
Yep.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is down.
Come on, those divisions. That's what I was trying to think. Working on those divisions. At this point in time, I would have to say yes. But the division leaders in each of those, Minnesota looks good. But outside of that, if the Packers just don't look good. That's the only question.
And keep in mind, the NFC East has wins over. So Giants beat the Packers. Dallas took out the Rams earlier. So that, in terms of tiebreakers.
No, at this point, you would have to say yes. You have to.
And is Von Miller a better version? I'm going to add better version of Charles Haley in terms of this era. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't love your mercenary comment. I'm just going to be real with you. I didn't love that.
He is a mercenary at this point, though. He's an all-time great. He's an all-time great mercenary. So Deion Sanders was an all-time great mercenary.
Like I said. Like I said,
you can be all time. You can two things to be true.
So here's what I'll say. I think Charles Haley, like, that was a unique situation in a war between
Dallas and San Francisco.
Dallas and San Francisco, right? They were pushing and pulling him back and forth, right? So this is more a his choice type thing. So in that respect, like the mercenary comment is accurate. I just think we signed him for 6 years, $120 million. That's different. Deion was a mercenary. But what I will say is, he is the best Super Bowl good luck charm you could possibly have. If he can pull this one off, then he gets all the props. And mercenary, whatever, call him whatever. It will not bother me if we get a ring out of this. So he has to pull this one off to get to that Charles Haley discussion.
Yep. Because, of course, to those who forgot, Haley won 5 Super Bowls. So every, like, I think the comparison from a standpoint of these two non-quarterbacks elevate their teams. Whatever teams they're going to be on, they're going to immediately elevate those teams to another level. And that's what both these players have done. Of course, Haley did it more because he was able to do. Vaughn Miller's the better player, per se. Miller's the better player, but Haley, as a winner, was again, won 5 Super Bowls. So wherever he went, he won. And he was a big part of those teams winning wherever he went. So, two great defensive players who are non-quarterbacks were able to elevate their teams to another level. And Haley was a great player. Oh, he was a great player. The reason he doesn't get the credit that he should deserve is because he came along in an era where some of the all-time great pass rushers were all, like, you know, came along, the Reggie White, your guy, Bruce Smith, you know, Kevin Green, all those guys. It was just a plethora of all-time great pass rushers. And he kind of somewhat gets lost in that shuffle. But Haley was a tremendous player during his time. Stock up. Parity in New York football. So we have had a number. I think the number was like 70 games that were within 8 points in the fourth quarter. What are your thoughts on the parity so far through 6 games?
Yeah, I mean, some people say parity. I think the overall quarterback play in the league has not been great. And
right.
So I think you could say the offense, not, I mean, like, however. So I think before I go parity, oh yeah, it's parity because they can't, not enough teams to get out of their own way. I would also like to see better football along with this parity. Let's say that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, the football can be better. I'm not down on it, but to your point, it can be better. In a year like this, when you see, like, okay, you have two teams that are clearly better than everybody else. Buffalo and Kansas City are better. Those are the two best teams. But, like, coaching, you really see, like, in a year like this, what coaching will mean between the difference between winning and losing. Like, because the margin of error is thin, the talent spread out. Once you get past, like I said, those two dynamic quarterbacks and franchises, you're going to see if you have, you can have a Nick Sirianni or a Nathaniel Hackett. Okay. So I don't really think, to be honest with you, I bring up Philadelphia and Denver because I don't think the talent gap is that big, to be honest with you. But, you know, one team has a professional coach, the other team doesn't. So,
Denver's defense is significant. Like they are.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's my point.
Denver, they're just not good enough to overcome.
No, exactly. Denver. If we matched up Denver's talent versus Philadelphia's talent, it's not that big a difference. I can make a case that Denver might have more talent. That's my point. That's my point about the coaches' standpoint. So, yeah, like that. Yeah. Like that, you can't. You're right. To your point, you can't overcome it. You can't. You just can't. Like what the Brian Daboll is doing in New York with the just shift, completely change the culture off one of the worst cultures in the NFL coming before he got there. Like it's been, you know, spectacular.
That's the difference. Yeah,
I see a year this year like really coaching. Coaching is going to be more valuable. From what I've seen the first 6 weeks, that coaching is going to be even that. But it's always valuable. Of course, we know this, and it's throughout 100 years in the NFL. But even in a year like this, when quarterback play is down, offensive not scoring as much, like coaching and adjustments and how you handle your teams week to week, consistency, how much that really is going to matter that much more. And of course, we mentioned over the course of this podcast, New York football. So after years of being in the basement, after years of just embarrassment, both New York teams have winning records. Giants are 5-1. Jets are 4-2. So a lot to cheer about with New York football for the first time in many, many years, to say the least. And both of those teams are doing it with their defense. Stock down, the use of
pretty cool.
The use of the 2-point conversion. Listen, I like the 2-point. I'm fine with the 2-point conversion. It's been in for, 20-plus years, whatever. But I see teams go for the 2-point conversion at times when it's like, why? What are we doing here? Like, Philadelphia, I think it was Philadelphia. It was 20-17, and they go for it, right? Wanting to make it 28-17, so that would force Dallas to score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion and get a field goal. Nice. Sounds great. But if you do miss it, which they did, Dallas can win the game with a touchdown and a field goal. So is it worth it in that situation to go for it? Like, kick the 2-point, kick the field, kick the extra point. You're up 27-17. They have to score a touchdown and a field goal. A touchdown and a field goal basically ties the game, unless they choose to go for two, which more than likely they're not. So I think these coaches just overthink these. They have, I guess, these scorecards and when to go for two. I just think I don't believe in going for it unless you absolutely have to go for it. And if you are up by 3 points and you score a touchdown to go up by 10, you don't have to go for a 2-point conversion. I just these coaches, like, I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, they can be a bit aggressive. Like, what?
Tomlin used to do that. Bro, Tomlin used to do that shit at the beginning of the game.
I cannot love it unless you need it. That's my general philosophy as well.
So, yeah, these coaches, I just don't get it sometimes. Like that, again, of course, it didn't cost Philadelphia the game, but like I said, it's just like, why? Just why? Like, in that situation. So, I'm not really, I'm kind of down on the use of it from some of the situations I've seen over the course of early on in this through these first 6 weeks of the season. Who won the week? Of course, we said this last week. If they won the game, whoever won that game would win the week, and there's no question the Buffalo Bills cementing their status as the NFL's best team. They had the NFL's best quarterback, the NFL's best defense, the NFL's best defensive coordinator. They cover all the bases.
Number one offense in the NFL.
Number one offense in the league. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They right now are rolling. They're getting healthier with some of their players coming back. They're getting experience from some of their younger players, especially in the secondary. You're going to have more than likely a fresh Von Miller. They have him, of course, on a snap count, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you are primed and poised to be, you're right where you should be, at this point in the season. And, I would think that they were the Super Bowl favorites, and there's nothing I've seen that would change my mind from that. Like, they are clearly should be the Super Bowl favorites. Kansas City's right there. Of course, we know this. Nobody in the NFC could touch them right now. Like, there's not, like, I respect the NFC East, but there's nobody in the NFC that I think could hang with them, per se. But you don't worry about that till the actual Super Bowl. But they definitely won the week. You go to Kansas City, one of the toughest places to play in the league. and you take care of business and you do it against a team that, again, is right there with you as far as being one of the few teams that could win a Super Bowl this year. And you do it, again, you do it with your defense. That's the thing. The Buffalo defense has been the story this year. I know Josh Allen is going to get a lot of the credit, which all great quarterbacks do. He's going to win the MVP. But it is about when I think about Buffalo football this year, I think about that defense. That defense has been consistent throughout from week in to week out. Even in the one loss they had, it was not about what their defense did not do. Then the Miami loss. So. Mm-hmm. Buffalo clearly wins the week. I mean, I don't think there was any real debate about it. Not a great schedule this week for games. This could have been a honeydew Sunday as well. I had to really search for long and hard for a game that I actually, you know, have somewhat of interest in. Kansas City and San Francisco. San Francisco has not played well this year. They coming off a bad loss to Atlanta. And Kansas City's coming off loss to Buffalo, so I'll be interested to see Super Bowl rematch from a couple years ago, of course, where the San Francisco fans still have not gotten over the fact that they feel like Jimmy Garoppolo cost them that game. They are still pissed by that game. So Super Bowl rematch from a couple years ago. You expect Kansas City to bounce back with a big performance. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's going to come down to if Nick Bosa can play. When he's on that field with them, San Francisco has they have the tools defensively to be able to handle.
Yes, great defense. They have a great defense.
Kansas City. You know, as long as Garoppolo doesn't go Garoppolo, then they have the offense that can keep limited possessions over there. So they have the style that can beat Kansas City. To me, it's just all of Nick Bosa plays.
Yeah.
If he does, I'll give a score. If he does, I mean, I still think Kansas City comes away with this. Like, if he does play 27-20, if he doesn't play, this is like 44-13, something like that.
I think San Francisco's defense will keep them in this game. I think their defense is, they do have a very talented defense. I could see 31-17, that type of game. I think they'll be close to three quarters, and Kansas City will pull away in the fourth quarter. But again, very light week as far as matchups. So you had a couple heavyweight matchups this week, kind of things kind of settled up, calm down as we gear towards as we gear towards getting close to the halfway point of the season. Any thoughts on the, I'm sure you have a few thoughts on the Tua situation. He's been cleared. He said that he was not, he doesn't remember it. He says that he was unconscious with one of the concussions. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, like, he was in a tough spot because he wants to play.
Right.
And so I thought he would do whatever it took for him to get back onto the football field. And that's exactly what happened.
Listen, if I said I was shocked, I'd be just a fool, because to your point, these guys are the most competitive people on the face of the earth as far as athletes. Like, they, especially in football, where they, you know, afraid to lose their jobs. But I'm a little bit surprised that it's this quick, to be honest with you. Like, I expected at least a month or even longer. At a certain point, like, we can talk about we know the NFL ain't shit. We know organizations, you know, will do whatever with their doctors to try to get players back on the field. But at a certain point, you got to give the players some criticism for not somewhat protecting themselves, to be honest with you. Like, you were knocked unconscious. You were unconscious. You've had multiple concussions in the last you know, 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, you know,
It is what it is.
I mean, it's not, he's not the first. It won't be the last. So that's what it comes down to. Yep. Like, it, you know, this has been the history of the NFL. Like, so, you know, I wish he wouldn't play, be perfectly honest, from a health standpoint. I'm actually as a human being, as a person, fearing for his health in terms of what
everybody's gonna be going to when he gets hit that first time.
So it's like,
y'all gonna be like,
it's like, yo, man, like, damn, B, I know it is your livelihood and what have you, but damn, yo, it's like this, whoo, like, yeah.
It's tough.
What was your brother's thoughts?
Oh, he had a negative reaction.
Oh, so he wasn't on the field.
We just know the NFL know the players. It's not even about want. It just is.
It is, yeah, okay. So he's like,
going to happen this way. Like, there's,
right.
I mean, there's just nothing to complain about. Like, Tua wants this. The organization wants this. The NFL wants this. It is what it is.
In essence, it is what it is, per se. But
asking a football player not to want to play football.
Right. That just doesn't happen. Like, that's just not something that happens. Like, you know. But, man, it's, woo. You hear the stories. You talk about he doesn't remember, was unconscious and things like that, of that nature. That, you know, that could be a very just scary situation, to say the least. Like, that's, you know, wish him the best. Hopefully, you know, things work out as far as just him staying, just not getting another concussion for the rest of the year, and you know, we'll see what happens with that. In regards to that, before we let you go, any thoughts on the New England quarterback situation?
No. We'll just watch it play out. They'll figure it out.
Oh, goodness. So New England has evened their record at 3-3, a couple of wins. So Patriot fans are feeling a little good about themselves right now. I don't think any of us taking it serious, but you know, they're 3-3, so they should be interesting from a standpoint of just for headlines throughout the course of the season. That's gonna wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Of course, your host, the Real Joe Quinn. As always, I'd like to thank Robert Sapp for joining me, sir.
All right, sir.
All right.
You have a good one.
You too.
All right, later.
That's going to wrap it up for this edition. We will see you next time. This podcast, of course, will be up tomorrow. Have a great rest of your evening. Enjoy the continual opening of the NBA season. So long.